This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 40 local organizations are coming together to work to ensure that by 2024, every young person in San Antonio has access to out-of-school programs that help them grow, learn, and thrive. This coalition is called Excel Beyond the Bell. How do these programs impact the young people's academic outcomes? What incentives and do we have for the community to invest in youth development? How can parents learn more about how to get their kids involved? So can San Antonio be a top U.S. city for youth as Excel Beyond the Bell takes root here in San Antonio? Our guest this hour is Ginger Walker. She's the data director for P16 Plus Council for the Greater Bexar County. And also Ryan Lugio Holland. He's a executive director of the nonprofit initiative Excel Beyond the Bell. And Andrea Figueroa, the executive director of the Martinez Street Women's Center and Excel Beyond the Bell steering committee member. And we invite you into our program. We want you to call in. What do you want to see for after-school programs, summer programs for kids? How can we make sure that these are fun times, but also learning times for our kids? 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet us at tprsource. So, Ryan, start off by telling us more about the vision, the focus of Excel Beyond the Bell. What are you trying to accomplish?
So all of our leaders believe that every single young person, no matter where they live or what their parents' income is or what school they go to, deserves access to really high quality care after school, during breaks, and in the summer hours. And so we're a collective impact network of 41 agencies that provide those services and are working to, one, make sure that all of our programs are really challenging young people in the ways they need to grow, and two, that as the years pass, that more and more young people are getting included in those high-quality programs.
So does it seem like there are, you say you want all kids included in that area. Is there a disparity between some kids who are able to access programs during the summertime that will benefit them and some kids who, like me, I had to bus tables on the Riverwalk during my summertime?
I mean, we're all for youth jobs, and we're not saying that the programs that our members run are the only ways young people can grow, but we are a set of groups that have really committed to rigorous standards for quality, that have committed to measure our social and emotional impact on young people, and the academic impact we have on young people. And so what we want to see is, whether you're a football coach or a youth minister, we want to see more people that influence the lives of youth taking that challenge to really rigorously impact young people's lives in the way that we know we're capable of. And so as 41 agencies, we're coming together to say, hey, we're going to have the biggest impact we can to make sure young people are future ready. And anybody that's out there, whether you run an athletic department for a school district or a faith community, we want to partner with you and help give you resources so that you can grow your positive influence on young people as well.
So you don't want to run the programs. You want to partner up with programs that are already in existence to help them maximize the benefit that they bring to their to the youth who go there?
Or both. And let me give you an example. So our members serve about 55,000 young people every year. And those members include Martina Street with Andrea here, YMCA, Boys and Girls Club, Family Service Association, Good Samaritan, Ella Austin Center, on down the line. And together they're serving 55,000, which seems like a lot. But across Bexar County, we have 335,000 young people between 5 and 17. So we know that our members are impacting less than one in every five young people out there. So then it's on us to find out, well, as we grow our programs, as we find the funding for that, who else can we partner with, like faith communities, like sports teams, to help close that gap? And so we want to close as much of that gap as is appropriate, but we also want to find those partners because our focus is ultimately on young people and on families that need that extra support.
So, Andrea, tell me about the Girl Zone at the Martinez Street Women's Center. How are you working with Excel Beyond the Bell? What services are you providing?
Right. So we provide services to girls ages 8 to 18. So we start in third grade and we try to see them all the way through high school now. Most of our programming surrounds leadership, service learning, healthy relationships, preventative services like evidence-based sex education, and the arts. So what we're trying to do is to be part of Excel Beyond the Bell. That really gives us access to what Ginger is going to talk about later, which is the data aspect. For a smaller organization like us, it's really imperative that we have the standards and the data to really make us the best program that we can be to give girls the highest quality programs that they possibly can have on the east side of San Antonio.
So if the Girls Zone didn't exist, the Martinez Street Women's Center, what would happen to these young women? Where would they be? What would they be doing?
A lot of our students wouldn't have access to programs. You know, there are other organizations that we partner with on the east side of San Antonio, including the YMCA, Ella Austin Center. But one of the things that we see at Girl Zone is that most of our students only attend one program, and that program is our program. So we really feel that without that program, many of our girls would be outside, wandering around, possibly, you know, not having an opportunity to learn, because in our program, the majority of the time is spent actually learning a lesson of some sort.
So this is a positive point of contact that you have with these young women who otherwise they wouldn't have that.
Absolutely.
All right. So Ginger Walker, you're the data director for P16 Plus Council of Greater San Antonio, Bexar County. What data are you collecting? What are you finding out?
Yes. In P16, we're an education-focused organization that is looking for these kinds of partnerships because our mission is to improve educational success outcomes for all students in Bexar County. It's a big mission, so we need partnerships like this that are measurable, scalable, sustainable. And some of the, through this data partnership, we have the opportunity to work with individual agencies like Martinez Street Women's Center and the school districts to bring those agencies together to allow the agencies to have access to data on how their students are doing academically in terms of behavior and attendance. And some other information that's only possible because these 40 networks are at the table together, like what Andrea was talking about, knowing how many of the students are served by multiple agencies. That's information that we provide on a scorecard back to the agencies. And so they're able to see, well, there might be students who are served by multiple agencies and which agencies those are, or students that may not have other opportunities. Academically, we're seeing that on this scorecard, the students that are served by Excel Beyond the Bell tend to have higher academic outcomes than the districts that they come from. Even though, as a network overall, the students that come from Excel Beyond the Bell and are served by Excel Beyond the Bell agencies have a very similar rate of economic disadvantage. Now, that's different agency by agency, and we get the opportunity to reflect on that with each agency through two coaching meetings throughout the year.
So you're searching for deliverables. You're trying to find out that these are programs that are delivering positive outcomes for children, helping them achieve academic success. And so we're going to see how can we pay for that? Where is the money going to come from and why this is worth your investment? We're going to be looking into some numbers as we come back from the break. We're talking about summer programs, after-school programs, giving our kids the best here in San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Do you remember those lazy days of summer when you were a kid and maybe you sort of wallowed the days away, maybe playing video games and watching reruns of Gilligan's Island? Well, you know, there are programs out there that will help kids take advantage of their free time and develop and not lose the academic sharpness that they developed throughout the school year, and also become more attuned to their community and better equipped to excel. Excel Beyond the Bell is a coalition of 40 local organizations working to ensure that by 2024, every young person in San Antonio has access to out-of-school programs to help them grow and thrive what are your memories of going through after-school programs, summer programs, and how maybe one of them turned you around and turned gave you the life that you enjoy today? We want to hear that story. 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, or maybe you're a parent. What do you want? What do you need out of summertime programs, after-school programs to help your kids? 210-614-8980. And so Ryan Holland, you're the executive director of Excel Beyond the Bell, and y'all have like a report that's coming out. What are you finding?
So Dr. Steve Niven did a cost-benefit analysis of our members. So the question was, for every dollar that is invested in a program like Martina Street or like Good Samaritan Runs or any of our members, what's the public benefit on that? And he found that for every dollar that goes into one of our out-of-school time programs, because they're high quality, because they're data-driven, there's at least $3.6 in public benefit. So over the course of a year, our sector, the out-of-school time programs of San Antonio, it cost about $83 million to operate them. And that sounds like a lot of money, but when you realize that that's generating $220 million every single year of additional public benefit, then that's a really smart investment. And so what we're finding is that when you invest in young people, you're preparing the workforce, you're improving high school graduation, you're increasing future earning power, you're also supporting parents, reducing the burden they have to pay for childcare or stay home from work themselves and provide childcare. And so when you have programs that are really investing in the learning and the development of young people, of your children, of my daughter, then that's how we prepare a bright future. And Dr. Niven's research really confirms that. And he was the former chief economist for the city of San Antonio. He's a professor at St. Mary's. He's super respected in his field. And, you know, we got some outside analysis of the study just to be like, well, how does this look to national experts? And people confirmed it. So it's really it's important that we know that when we literally invest in young people, we're investing in the future of the city. And we say we want to be a city on the rise. Well, how do we do that if we're not preparing today's children and youth to lead and to succeed and to be the workers and the mayors and the council people of tomorrow?
Well, it seems like we're dealing with a lot of challenges in San Antonio and trying to come up with programs that are going to help children in these areas after school and during the summertime. First of all, the issue is who's going to pay for it? You know, we know we have a funding mechanism for our local schools. The school districts are able to provide that money, but and they're all dealing with their own budget stuff. I don't know if they're going to be very generous when it comes to providing for these programs. I don't know. You tell me. The city of San Antonio may be coming up with some cash, but is it enough? I don't know. There's probably a lot of philanthropic organizations out there. But, you know, it's still you're trying to make, a quarter do the work of a dollar in these organizations. So, if there was more money available, if we had a dedicated source of funding, is that what's holding back these Excel Beyond the Bells programs, Ryan?
A designated source of funding for proven high-quality programs is absolutely what we need. I mean, we have to applaud the city of San Antonio for the investments that it currently makes and for school districts like SAISD, like Northside, like Harlandale, like Northeast that are really investing in these programs, and partners like the United Way and everybody out there that contributes to United Way campaign, the San Antonio Area Foundation. There's a lot of great investors in the sector right now, but it isn't enough because there are too many young people that are out there without a program that can really help them grow and help them thrive. And we also have to ask the question, who's going to pay if we don't invest in those young people? Who's going to pay if crime goes up? Who's going to pay if tomorrow's workforce isn't ready? Who's going to pay if, you know, companies are leaving San Antonio because we don't have the leaders and the workers that they need? So one way or another, we're going to have to reconcile with the outcomes and the future that we're creating today. And so all we're saying is let's invest now so that we're ready tomorrow and we really can claim our potential as a city.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. And George is on the line. And George, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I just want to say that although I didn't go into engineering, I did attend a pre-engineering program with UCSA during the summer. And like I said, I didn't go into engineering, but I went into data management. And all of the organizational and research skills and problem solving skills.
Okay. All right, George, we're really having trouble hearing you. I can't hear it at all. But according to the notes from the producer in the screening, it says that a summer program at UTSA taught him skills that he needed 22 years ago, which have really paid off for him today. So George is telling us that, you know, a summertime program that he engaged in really made a difference for him. So Ginger Walker, as you do data analysis, you know, how are you able to figure that out? When you do a data analysis, like this program is really is turning someone's life around. You know, it doesn't really pop out of the paper, does it?
Right. I mean, the scorecard is done on an annual basis. So we're looking at how do students do this year that they're being served by the agency. But that is a question that comes up very often in our agency data coaching meetings. How do I know the impact of my students, that this program might be having on students long term? And so we've done some things to try to get at that. We want to know, are they growing more academically this year than they did in previous years? And we've seen some really exciting results in math in that regard. And that we also try to look at students who were in your program several years ago. So some of the agencies are asking us to look at how students are doing academically that were served several years ago, and look at the impact that they're having several years down the line. And so that's really going to help the agencies understand the impact they're having long term.
Okay, another caller. Let's see how this works. John. Hi, John. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Great.
So I'm actually calling because I ran a program for a while. And I live in a community where we're not as funded as other communities, so we're a little bit more on the, I guess, we're not so much on the rich side of town. And some of the issues that we would come across is that the people that actually ran the programs, I would get criticized a lot because I wouldn't charge as much for, like, jerseys or, you know, for playing time or for the kids to come and play or, you know, just for whatever's going on at the time. I wouldn't charge too much for baseball, basketball, you know, whatever. And the issue that I would have, and I had to step down from it, is because they would always tell me that, well, we need to bring money in. We need to bring money, 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 money. But, you know, in the area that I had, I mean, it's like a lot of graffiti, a lot of kids in the street. They don't have anything to do. And we would open up the recs and let them come play. And we would get, you know, 100 kids out there in the neighborhood, and they would come and they would, you know, want to have fun. But whenever it was time to actually join the sport, and I would have to tell them, okay, well, you have to pay, you know, $120, $140 for the program, plus another, you know, $40 for your jersey, and we wouldn't make a profit off of it. I would get a lot of slack from the other, the ones that they would actually run the program. They wanted to have the money.
Sure.
Instead of having the kids play.
John, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. You bring up a very important point. That is, no matter what the price is for people to engage in some programs, a lot of people can't afford it. It doesn't matter how low you make it. So let me ask you about that, Andrea, over to Girls Zone. I mean, I'm sure you get all sorts of different types of people from different economic situations, but there's sometimes, you know, if you ask for a payment, then sometimes that doesn't work out.
Exactly. And so at the Martinez Street Women's Center, Girls Zone is actually a free program. And we do that for a specific reason. We do that because some of our parents cannot afford even $3 a day or, you know, whatever the cost for a rec program may be. And we, you know, we need to pay attention to the parents that we're serving, the families that we're serving, and realize that regardless of what they have in their pocket, we are going to give them the highest quality program that we possibly can.
So how do y'all do that? You're not going to charge anything. You got to have resources. So where's your juice coming from?
Right. So our funding comes from some of the funders that Ryan was talking about earlier.
Like the United
Way. City of San Antonio. City of San Antonio, San Antonio Area Foundation has several different funds. And we rely especially on our individual donors as well. That's just people in the community that see a value in our program and want to give back and make sure that even though they're not their students or their kids, that kids in their neighborhood or kids in their city are being served by these programs so that they can later on succeed in life.
And so, Ryan, what about that, the cost point? Where, I mean, is there a... Is it free? Is that what you're looking for free for entry?
We want everybody to have access. So if your family is making, you know, $15,000 a year and you don't have a lot of disposable income, it probably needs to be free. If your family's making $500,000 a year, you don't need a free program. So it really depends on where you're coming from. But I want to step back and just affirm you, John, because you're clearly a mentor, a tutor, a coach, and probably at times a peacemaker in the lives of the young people in your community. And you're not in it for money-making reasons, and you're a leader that young people need. And this city is full of leaders that have a positive influence on young people every day, whether you're a youth development professional in one of our agencies, or you're a teacher, or you're a principal, or a youth minister, whoever you are, or if you're just a neighbor and a parent and a caring citizen. We need all of those people to work together as a community to grow the supports that young people need. Because when you look, especially in some communities, but really all over the city, there are young people crying out for help. And it's on all of us, whether we're professional or not, to hear those cries and to connect them to the resources and the motivations that they need to keep on living and to keep on pushing and to keep on growing.
So do you have a lot of people like John and Andrea out there in San Antonio who are dedicated or are trying to make a difference? They recognize that this is a great need that we have in our community. We've got to find leadership. We've got to provide positive role models. And we got to be able to find people who can scrounge up great resources and put things together.
Absolutely. And you know, the oldest force for positive social change and for healthy young people on this planet is parents, you know, parents, and then also the village, you know, the village model that was the norm for thousands of years that was supporting the growth of children and youth. What we've seen in recent decades is that as it gets harder to make ends meet in many communities, and as more and more people have to work two jobs or three jobs, then there's fewer supports for children in the after school and summer hours. And that's where you've really had the profession of out of school time step in and step up to be there for parents that are having to work those second and third shifts, or for to be there for young people who just need that extra challenge and are ready for that next level of growth. And so it's a partnership. It's a partnership between parents and professionals. It's a partnership between neighbors and teachers and everybody that's in the lives of young people. I think what's happened sometimes is that people that are doing the work like John don't get affirmed enough. The extra energy and attention that they're giving to young people doesn't get recognized and doesn't get appreciated, and they burn out. And that's sad, but that happens far too much. And I think when we see people doing great things for youth, whether they're a professional or they're just a caring citizen, we have to affirm them and recognize them and appreciate them, because that's the leadership we need.
What do people think kids are actually going to be doing during the summertime or after school if we don't have programs like this? What do people what's supposed to happen to these kids, Andrea, without programs?
Well, you know, many kids during the summertime, if they don't have a summer program, are at home watching younger siblings or in the neighborhood. There's not a whole lot of options for youth if they're not in a summer program. And, you know, summer learning loss is a really big issue. We want to make sure that kids are prepared to be in school the next year and to be successful in the next year. And the best way to go about that, in my opinion, is through summer programming, where they continue to learn in a fun environment, in a caring environment that prepares them for the following school year.
So where should they first turn, Ryan, to figure out what am I going to do with my kid this summer? You know, if I have a sixth grader or something like that, they need answers.
So go on our website, beyondthebellsa.org, beyondthebellsa.org, and you go to the tab Schools and Districts, and if you scroll down, you'll see a map, and you can zoom through that map to find programs that are in your area. You click on the circles and the stars that you see there, and it'll give you the program name.
Okay, we're going to talk more about this in the coming half hour. We're not going away. And call in if you got a question or a comment. 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Finding a summer program for your kid this summer. This is The Source. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Many school children right now, they're counting down the days to the end of the academic year. That last bell rings, school is done, time for the summer break, and then what? What's going to happen to those San Antonio youth? Are they going to forget all those arithmetic tables and stuff that they learned, those formulas, or are they going to be able to build upon that and grow and thrive? A coalition of 40 local organizations called Excel Beyond the Bell are working to ensure that San Antonio youth are able to access learning activities outside the classroom. So the question is, how valuable are these programs to you and your family? Do you see this as a needed investment for San Antonio's youth? We invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. And Joanne has called in. And Joanne, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I'm old San Antonio. And back in the day of baby boomers, we had city parks and state parks and recreation centers available all the time. And we were taught a lot of different things when we would go there. It was never, ever a matter of money. It was free from the time that they would open until the time that they would close. We had little art classes and ping pong tables. We had teenagers monitoring us. I mean, it wasn't anything real structured. These things were all available to us as kids. I can't see how now we have less money than we had before. I mean, everybody was poorer. Middle-class kids need this also. I know poor people are poor. We're poor, you know, but it's got to be much more generic. You know, it's got to be available to everyone.
Okay, Joanne, I appreciate it. I remember I went to programs like that, too, when I was a kid growing up in San Antonio. SANYO, San Antonio Youth Organizations, and they had hired teenagers, and they ran these workshops, or, you know, and we had ping pong, and they gave us lunch, and it was some sort of structure. Ryan Holland, you're the executive director for Excel Beyond the Bell. I mean, that's good, but you want more? Is that it?
I want every youth. I don't believe that, hey, these 55,000 youth deserve high-quality programs and these other, you know, 260,000 youth don't. I believe every young person deserves the same, has the same right to excellent programs that are going to help them grow. But to the caller's point, I mean, the city, the park district, and the libraries, they still run great programs. But the question is, it's not enough. And I think part of the problem is that right now there's a critique of government that says investing in young people, investing in children, investing in our future in that way is not the responsibility of government. We're just going to focus on streets and basic infrastructure. And I think that's what we have to watch out for, because even though the government, even though the city does have some good options for young people, it isn't enough. And even though the city does invest in our programs at some level, that's also not enough. We have to start thinking about young people as the future in a much more concrete way. When we hear youth are the future, we think of a cliche in our head and we dismiss it a lot of the time. But those really are going to be the workers and the leaders of tomorrow. You know, if you're a senior, if you're preparing to be a senior, those are going to be the people that are determining the quality of your care. And if you lead a church, those are going to be the people that are going to be inheriting your church and determining what happens to it in the future. Every single institution in our society is determined by how strong our young people are. And if we don't think of that as worthy of investment, as a different kind of infrastructure, then I think we're really missing the mark.
And Ginger Walker, you're the data director for P16, Council of Greater Bexar County. How are we able to determine the difference between kids who are learning significant skills, like maybe coding or reading at a higher level, and kids who are like, when I was in SANYO, well, we learned how to fight. So we learned, you know, it was basically a fight club. How do you determine that?
So that is the value of being able to be part of a network like this. These agencies might not all otherwise have access to academic outcomes data on their programming. So being able to see not just are we improving students' academic outcomes, but are they getting suspended from school less often? Are they attending school more often? And the agencies are really hungry for this information.
So how are you tracking these kids?
It can sometimes be expensive to get.
How do you track them?
So with each of the agencies, they share who is involved in their program, and then because of our data sharing agreements with the district, we can provide them summary level. They don't get to see Johnny missed class today and Susie didn't. That's not the level of data they get for privacy reasons, but they're able to see overall, are students missing school more than 10% of the time, or are 10% of our students having a discipline referral throughout the year? And the agencies are really taking that information to heart and trying to do something about it. So I think that's kind of the difference between programs that have access to data and that really rigorous continuous improvement process to be able to see, is what we're doing making a difference for students? If not, what are the areas that they're struggling in and how can we adjust our programming? One agency shared with us that they were really seeing a relative struggling in math compared to reading. And so instead of just having their normal homework help time, they also brought in a math tutor for that. So that's the kind of decisions that the agencies can make to improve their programming when they have this kind of outcomes data and access to it. And it's not something that all programs can afford to do on their own.
And Ryan, it seems like reduction of absenteeism at public school is a big motivator for a public school to get involved, because they lose money every time a kid doesn't show up for school, and having high absenteeism could make or break a school budget for that year. So we can say, hey, here's a deliverable. We're going to reduce absenteeism. They're going to say, that's going to benefit the school district.
That from a business perspective, that's absolutely true. And schools have to be sustainable businesses like any other institution. And so they have to think about that. But also at the same time, nobody became a teacher or principal because they wanted to run a business. They became a teacher or principal because they wanted to transform and influence the lives of students and young people. And so we like to think of ourselves as partners on both ends. We absolutely can help your students show up to school ready to learn. That's part of why out-of-school time programs exist. And at the same time, we can help them learn those people skills, those soft skills, those social-emotional skills, so that they're building deeper relationships with the other students in their classroom, they're building healthy relationships with their teachers, and they're becoming holistically strong across all the areas of their life.
Back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Emilio is on the line. Hi, Emilio. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
How you doing, sir?
Great. Go ahead.
I'm just calling because my daughter was a participant in the Girl Zone. And I just have to say the program's a very positive program.
How so? Tell me about that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was a parent representative at the school. And my daughter got involved in Girl Zone. And I got to meet the people involved in Girl Zone, and they're very positive people. They're always motivating kids. They take them on trips. And I think for that program to be in that neighborhood, because my daughter went to Herf Elementary at the time, and I was being a representative there and seeing a lot of these families have one parent. They need these resources with other people with positive influences in their life.
Emilio, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate that. So that's quite a testimonial, Andrea, that you have for your program, Girl Zone, at Martinez Street Women's Center. So talk more about what you're doing to help young women discover that there are opportunities in the world waiting for them.
Right. First, thank you, Emilio, for calling in. We really appreciate that. We love hearing from our parents, from our students. And, one of the things I wanted to talk about was really those stories, the stories of girls who have been through the program. Like I said previously, we try to see the girls from age 8, and we are a long-term program, so we want to make sure that we are following these students all the way through. Recently, we had a student who had been with us since the sixth grade, so we found her a little bit later. She had significant challenges in her home life and at school. Those challenges in her home life really showed up at school as well. And recently she came back and said thank you because, you know, she graduated from high school and she was also a high school mentor for our program for our younger girls. We have that opportunity for the high school kids as well. And she graduated with dual college credit. So these are the stories that we see that maybe are, you know, don't show up immediately in the data, but being a long-term program, we're able to capture these stories as well. And this, it's definitely a motivator for us to keep doing the work that we do because we see these students grow up, succeed, come back, and hopefully, you know, they will invest in the future of youth around them as well.
So what are the big topics, areas that you want to cover when you have young women show up at Girls Zone and you want to help them? What is it that you really able to provide? What areas?
So service learning and leadership.
So what does that mean, service learning? I mean, I know what it means, but tell me what y'all do.
So we have the girls think of a project. We have them look around their community and figure out something that they want to work on, something that they, you know, we look at assets in our community, which are the good things that our community has, and we look at things that maybe need improvement in our community. And the girls create a project surrounding that. Right now we're working on a mural that the girls will be completed in partnership with the Team Up Challenge at the beginning of June. So that was their service learning project.
All right, more about that when we come back from the break. Our phone line is 210-614-8980 as we talk about after-school programs, summer programs that'll help San Antonio's youth grow, achieve, excel. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back after this. For every dollar invested in out-of-school time programs run by Excel Beyond the Bell, $3.66 is created in new value. This is a positive investment that we have for San Antonio. It's turning our young people into young leaders. It's helping them achieve and become ready for the workforce of tomorrow. So we're finding out that Excel Beyond the Bell is looking to improve San Antonio's youth force, but what else needs to be done out there, and what do you want to see happen? Are you a parent looking for some place for your child to go this summer that's going to really help them achieve and not just lay around the house and play video games all day long? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, and Tiffany is on the line. Tiffany, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I was calling because I'm one of the co-founders of San Antonio's first and only musical camp for young girls ages 11 to 14. And we're going to have our inaugural camp at Douglas Elementary at SAISD on July 17th. So I just wanted to call in and also support the need for after-school programs as well as summer programs for girls and all students and kids, really, but specifically for girls, because earlier one of your speakers was talking about data and having programs that are data-driven. And as we know, statistics show that young women struggle with self-esteem, body images, or just having a positive sense of body and just sense of self. And we're out there doing this for our community. Just a bit ago, you posed the question, what do we want to see? Well, at San Antonio Girl Rock Camp, we want our girls to be confident and comfortable and be willing to take that initiative to make that change that they want to see in their world and their community.
All right, Tiffany, thank you for the call. San Antonio Girls Rock Camp. And let me get to Pauline. Pauline's called in. Hi, Pauline. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I want to see more educational classes. I want to see classes, math and grammar, stuff that can benefit our students in the future. A lot of times we have these kids that just get promoted, and then when they enter college, they have something that can handle other remedial classes.
Okay.
I want to see just stuff that they could use in the future.
All right. And okay. All right, Pauline, thank you for that. So she wants to make sure that kids are having opportunities to have some academic challenges, grammar and other areas like that. And is that something that happens over at, you know, with the girls' zone, Andrea?
Well, yes, of course. What we're trying to do, we often partner with other organizations that specialize in these areas. So if we think of, say, for instance, Gemini Inc., they come out to our summer camp and they provide writing and poetry workshops for the girls throughout the summer. So, yes, they are. Obviously, we're hoping that they're learning the most that they can, and we're looking to the experts to provide those services.
And Ryan, is can that be a turnoff for some kids saying, I don't want to learn? If I wanted to learn, I'd go back to school, but it's summertime.
Well, great learning is fun, you know, and great teachers know how to make learning fun. And so, you know, part of Excel Beyond the Bell, we don't run any programs ourselves. We do outcomes evaluation and staff development supports for our members. And so when we think about staff development, how do we help the leaders of programs know how to make learning fun? And that's one of our focal points. And I got to say thank you to foundations like the San Antonio Area Foundation, which really gave birth to Excel Beyond the Bell in many ways, and the Mays Family Foundation and Rackspace and folks like that and Kronkowski and many others who have invested in these programs to help staff be ready for young people, to help staff convince young people that, you know what, not only do I want to spend my June, July, August coming to a program that I don't have to, I'm gonna love it, and I'm gonna be so ready for college that I'm not even gonna think about dropping out. I'm gonna be so ready for the workforce that I'm not gonna stop at my first position or my second position. I'm gonna see all that I'm capable of. And those future decisions really start now, and the influence that a staff member can have by making learning fun transfers into college, into career, into all those other areas of life. And it's when we remember and when we learn how to grow in a way that's enjoyable and that's, you know, better than video games, that's when we're really kicking butt.
Okay. Andrea is on the line. Another Andrea. Hi, Andrea. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I was calling because I attempted an after-school program. And the focus was being a citizen of San Antonio, how that really rocks and how this is such a great city. I was amazed at how many young people I had met who had not been beyond five miles of their neighborhood. They didn't know about Luminaria. They didn't know about all of these wonderful things that San Antonio offers. So we wanted to introduce young people to San Antonio, tour San Antonio. This is your city. To really encourage in them this sense of being a good citizen, living in a great city. Mm-hmm. So this is where you live. This is what the city has to offer. This is the foundation of a great future. And, you know, getting people interested and looking at that focus, mm-hmm. extremely difficult to sell.
Okay, Andrea, thank you for that. Appreciate that. So, and the other Andrea, let me ask you about that, Andrea, about the taking kids out of their neighborhood. Although there's a lot of great neighborhood-based programs and helping them do service learning in their neighborhood, but then taking them to the Tobin Center or taking them around San Antonio to see some of the cultural opportunities that we have, how does that open up these girls, help them blossom?
Oh, my goodness. Providing, you know, the girls with those opportunities is paramount, really. You know, we're lucky to have such great partnerships with the San Antonio Museum of Art, with the McNay, with all of these organizations that really understand that it is important right now to have these youth come walk through their institutions as well, because then they're going to be lifelong lovers of art and music too.
So what about telling them the message that this belongs to them, that they have every opportunity and they have every right to be there as anyone else, and that they're not confined to their little neighborhood, but they can roam the entire city and take charge of all of these opportunities for themselves?
Well, we hope that through programming and through taking the youth to these institutions that they are aware of that. And we do, on many occasions, tell them, this is here for you. This is here for you, and we hope that even if you're not in this program, that you know, you're able to, with your parents, take advantage of all of the wonderful things that the city has to offer. One of our favorites is Chalk It Up through Art Pace. And, you know, they have several family days as well. And we, you know, and those are free events. So we're hopeful that through the first opportunity that the girls get to have, that they then take advantage of those opportunities later.
Okay, another caller, Janet. And hi, Janet. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, I was calling because I was just wanting to say that, you know, all these programs are really a good source for the kids this summer because, for example, my children, we just moved back to San Antonio from being a military family for years. And so I've been actively looking for programs, and, I mean, I just haven't found anything worth their time this summer.
Okay. All right. So let's go again back over this. So, Ryan, tell me more again about how I can find different programs that are available in San Antonio for youth.
So I'll give you two options, both on our website. Go to beyondthebellsa.org, and if you just scroll down, you'll see the logos of all of our members, and you can Google any one of those agencies and see what programs they have going on this summer. Another option is you go to the School and Districts tab on our website, and you scroll down, and a map will appear, and you can navigate that map to see what programs might be around your home. And I think the key when choosing a program is to look for a place that's, first, of course, safe, but where people are happy to be there, where folks are really excited to meet you as a parent, to meet your children, and are willing to build the kind of relationships that are going to be transformative for your kids. Because ultimately, you're doing hard work as a parent, teachers are doing hard work during the school day, and we want to make sure that summer reinforces that hard work so that your kid stays on track. And that's really the goal. And so, you know, you might not always have access to the data to know what kind of impact a program does or does not have. That's when you got to trust your gut and you got to ask yourself, are they building the kind of relationships with me as a parent and with my children or my teenager to really make them excited about life and make them excited about learning and coming here?
So you want parents, you know, to look at the programs, try and find one that's right for them, you know, shop around, make some and look for things that really speak to your kid and consult your kid as well. You just can't draft them and say, you're going to do this, but they should be part of the choosing as well.
Especially for older youth. So, you know, if you have a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, you know, parents are going to be making most of those programming choices. But as your young person gets older, as they become 11, 12, 13, 14 on up, they're going to want to make those choices on their own. And I encourage all parents at any age to encourage your children to be involved in the choices where that's possible, but especially to engage teenagers who are navigating, you know, social media drama all the time, complex environments with their friends. They need to be in the driver's seat where it's possible, but those outside supports that a program can provide can really help them figure out what they're passionate about and what they're excited about. So a young person won't always know what excites them right off the bat.
All right. Ryan Holland is the executive director of the nonprofit initiative Excel Beyond the Bell. Ginger Walker is the data director for the P16. And Andrea Figueroa is the executive director of the Martinez Street Women's Center Excel Beyond the Bell steering committee member. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.